Thank you, Pastor Dot. It is an honor to stand behind this lectern where the Word of God goes forth so consistently anointed from our pastor. And I agree with Pastor, I'm so thankful. We're always glad when they're back home. I have a verse, I think, Zach. Yeah. Jake, I mean. I called him Zach because I don't trust Jake. Thank you, Jake. This is one of my favorite verses of Scripture, and I'm going to use that kind of as a springboard for what I want to share. I want to just simply talk to you about, I'm just calling it walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. You know, if you think about it, when we walk in the Spirit, we're doing exactly what Enoch did, except more so. Enoch walked with God. I love that part, and he was not. Aren't you glad one day you're going to be a was not? Guy's going to be sitting around hard, he's having coffee. You see old Jeremy? He's a was not. He used to be, but he was not. Glory to God. So, glad my sweet wife is here interceding. Deborah and I had an agreement early on. I told her, I said, when I have assignments, when I get opportunities to preach, it is not that Larry's going to preach and Deborah's going with him. It is Deborah and Larry are going to minister the word. Big difference in how you look at that. So, just look at that. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Some translations use pluralize that, words, but the most of the text I looked at said word, that is logos. I think that's the whole body of truth. How many of you know when he gave us the whole body, he wanted the whole body of it preached? And my Father will love him, and look at this, and we will come to him and make our home. It doesn't get any better than that. And we'll make our abode, some say we'll make our dwelling with him. I don't know why, but for several days I've had this old classic hymn just resonating in my spirit. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed this birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and glad tidings to earth. Tell the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. And I want to use that kind of as a segue into what I want to share with you tonight. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the only person, the only experience anyone can have that will make Jesus real to us. Wouldn't you like to have a friend who understands you better than anyone on the planet and still doesn't throw you away? Wouldn't you like to have a friend that never had a beginning and will never have an ending? What a friend. I thought about this. I guess you could, to a point, say, sing what a friend we have in Holy Spirit, except for the fact that the Holy Spirit did not suffer and bleed and die. The Holy Spirit was not spat upon like our blessed Lord Jesus was. But the Holy Spirit is our friend. I bought a book a few years ago by John Owen, an old Puritan theologian, called Communion with God. And the last part of that book is about communion with the Holy Spirit. Some of you who dare read those old books, and I'm retired, so that's all I have to do, except put food on the table for Deborah. But I love those old books. Pastor Doc and I told him one time, he said, those men had time to think. And he wrote about communion. But wouldn't you like to have a friend who never changes his mind about you? We've all had fickle friends who liked you last week, and for some reason they don't like you this week. The Holy Spirit's not like that. He never, ever changes his mind about you. Wouldn't you like to have a friend who is able to keep you out of the swamps and onto the rock? I had a conversation recently with a friend. Just we exchanged niceties, and he shared with me. He said, "Well, my wife is very depressed." He said she sits on the sofa all day and holds her little puppy in her hand. He said, like 12 hours a day, she just sits on the sofa and holds her little dog. Now, the worst part of that still is they're active in their church. And she got so depressed, she quit going. Well, I happen to know, so I'd quit. I wouldn't go there either, if I can just be so blunt. But, and I said to him, these words just came out. I said, he said, there's nothing that can be done about it. Now, here's people who go to church often, and he said, there's nothing that can be done about that. And these words just came out. I said, well, I disagree with that. And he didn't pursue it, so I didn't pursue it. How many of you know you can't help people who don't want help? And so I let it go. As long as you wear your religious shoes, you will never know the fullness of God. The Holy Spirit will not always act like you want Him to, so just get over it. Whoever said the Holy Spirit's a gentleman, I hadn't run into Him in a while. If I can just, I don't know how else to put this, He will wreck your world. And we'll talk about that about 9:30. My background believed in the Holy Spirit. They just believed He was worn out. I pastored for 17 years without the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life. Cora Ten Boom nailed it when she said, the most depressing, discouraging, defeating thing in the world is to do the work of God without the power of God. I'm telling you, I live through that, folks. It's not fun. It's not fun. I'd read in 1 John 5 where John says, His commandments are not grievous. And I had to be honest with the Lord. I said, Lord, to me right now, they're grievous. I mean, I went through some desert, and you have too. So I'm not proud of this part, but there were times when we were pastoring in East Tennessee and in a white-collar downtown First Mausoleum Church. And I got so discouraged. I would go home on Sunday mornings after the eulogy, and I literally threw my Bible against the wall of our living room. I was so discouraged. And I'll give you a Cliff Notes version. I went to Dallas, Texas. And in 1984, God radically transformed this old boy's life. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the very first time in my life. Folks, listen, when people don't give you the whole word, they're not doing you any favors. It was terrible years, but thank God I'm still here. Amen. And I'm more alive than I've ever been, as far as I know. So I was in Dallas in a La Quinta Inn conference room. I'll tell you, I got so happy. I got free. All my life, since I was a little boy, the devil had been talking to me. I did not know. I not only could talk back to him, I could get him off my back and out of my house and on the road. And I had authority and power over me. I didn't know that. When I was a little boy, I was one of those aisle runners. We called it rededicating your life. Well, I found out that God couldn't rededicate if you dedicated 1,000 times. I didn't know it then. But even then, I was searching for God. But nobody told me. I didn't know either. What's Larry doing down there again today? Kind of deal. But I was baptized. I got so free. I got so happy. True story. I'm not making any of this up. When I came home, I'll just call it Tennessee. That'll cover a big area. And I got home. True story. I was so happy, I couldn't sit down on my lawnmower to cut the grass. I stood up on my mower to cut grass. And it wasn't a large town. And people go, "Pastor Larry's cutting his grass again. I'll go by and watch him." Just, I don't think I had an impure thought for 3 months. I'm telling you, God radically changed my heart. And I thought everybody wanted what I had. Nope. Not so. So, long story longer, we got voted out, and about 50 of us left and did storefronts. I did storefronts for so long. I remember time telling them, I said, "Lord, do you remember how beautiful that building was?" I mean, the foyer was black and white marble. I mean, the chandelier in that place was bigger than a bus. I found that white-collar people won't give you 10 minutes of their time, but they'll give you a $100 bill. But there were like 4 different groups in the church. Folks, you wouldn't believe how dead it was if I tried to tell you. It was just dead. And so I found out during those years, and this is for somebody here, your greatest messages will come out of your deepest hurts. God's building a message in some of you right now. And do you know that one of the best things can happen to you is for your flesh to feel neglected? You just feel like you're just off God's radar. You never have been, according to Ephesians 1, and you never will be. He knew the one thing, and it took me a long time to see this, the one thing Father is after to kill in you is the one thing that has the potential to destroy you, and that's your old self-life. That old beastly self. And we all have to deal with it every day. Next time you're having a conversation, this will sting a little. The next time you're having, just notice how many times you say, "I, me, or my." A guy down in Birmingham wrote a book called "I Was Always on My Mind." We all have to deal with that. Oh, self-centered stuff. I was over in Muscle Shoals a few months ago on Rural King. That's my second home. Sitting on the parking lot and just meditating, and I don't really know why, but it's like for 10 seconds I saw the hideousness of my self-life. And I'm thinking, this was repulsive. And you've been there. It was repulsive. But thank God, He takes care of that. He knew we would falter. But here's the word. When He came in to stay. And He's still there. Through all the times I've been blatantly rebelling, He's still there. Even, I've read a book by John Newton, the old brother who wrote Amazing Grace, and you know the story, was in slave traffic. I read one of his books, John Newton said, told the Lord, he said, "Lord, sometimes I just get tired of being so dependent on you." But we know we have to do that. He doesn't come to leave us. And I want to share, I'm near done anything, but I wrote down six things that help us kind of know if we're tracking with the Holy Spirit. 6 kind of signposts, 6 ways you know. Sometimes when Deborah and I are talking, I'll just say, I'm not tracking right now. Just back up. And so this is what I want to do with the Holy Spirit. How can we know we're tracking? One thing, number one, you speedily admit when you're in the wrong. You speedily admit when you're in the wrong. That really helps a marriage. That right there will stop a lot of divorce court trips. You speedily admit when you're wrong. Milton Green is in heaven now. But I met Milton by the providence of God several years ago. Milton had a fifth grade education and stuttered when he spoke. But he had a lucrative carpet cleaning business. And as you might suspect, if you've ever even driven through Dallas, you know, there are posh areas in Dallas. And Milton sent one of his crews out, one of his cleaning crews out one morning, and he knew this was probably a multi-million dollar house, a mansion. And he stayed in the office, and the boys weren't gone very long at all. So they came back, and Milton said, "Boys, you finished your job?" "Yes, sir." Milton always called everybody new boys. He knew James Robinson well. He helped get him delivered. He just called him boy. He said, "Boys, you do a good job on the house?" Yes, sir. He said, "I think I'll go out there with you." Milton got his, and you'd have to know Milton, Milton got his white gloves and went out there with his cleaning crew. Went in this posh area, this multi-million dollar house. Put his white gloves on and reached down on the baseboard and swiped his hand and came up and dirt all over his white glove. And here's what he said to them. Here's a word. He said, "Boys, until we can agree on what dirt is, you can't work here." And Father loves us, but we got to agree with Him on what dirt is. Call it the own your stuff. Well, I heard when I was a pastor, I pastored some of these precious folks here, and I'd hear, "Well, Brother Larry, it's just in my jeans." And I said, "Yeah, it's in your Levi jeans." Own your stuff. Don't, there comes a time, Abraham Lincoln said, when you're past 40, every man's responsible for his own face. So we got to own our stuff. So one of the signs you can tell if you're tracking with the Holy Spirit, you readily admit when you're wrong. A second thing that you can help know that you're tracking, here's one of my favorites. You don't have to convince yourself every day that God loves you. You don't have to convince yourself. He's Abba. You just know. You don't live for, you don't live from, you don't live from His smile. Let me say it right. You don't live for His smile, you live from His smile. Let me put it in the form of a question. Do you live for His smile or from His smile? He is completely satisfied. We can't comprehend this, but His thoughts toward you tonight are more numerous than all the grains of sand on all the seashores of the world. That's what Psalm 139 says. He cares about you that much. My God, what a God. Then thirdly, number one, you speedily admit you're wrong. You don't have to convince yourself God loves you. You just, in your knower. If you're not there, please don't leave here without knowing, just being totally convinced. When I wake up in the morning, I just know. It's in your knower. There are some things in your knower that no man can put there and no man can take out. And that's one of them. Third thing, I learned this from my dear, dear friend, James Nesbitt. Sometimes I go with James on some of his day trips to go pray overseas and stuff. And when we go to the restaurant, almost without fail, James will look at the waitress and say, How can we pray for you today?" So simple. And 8 times out of 10, you get the gushers of water. Well, 2 nights ago, my husband left me for another woman. I've got 3 children. I'm working 2 jobs. Or I'm keeping my mother. I don't have any siblings. And my uncle's staying with me. Deborah and I have been ministering to a lady now that works near here. And She was telling us all that she had. And I said to her, that's too much for you to carry. But so far, she's not interested, but she doesn't know it, but she's getting set up. Don't you love it when God sets somebody up? She doesn't even know it yet because she's totally disinterested, but she will be. You're sensitive to the hurts of others. I learned that from James. So Deborah and I do that when we go out. Just how can we? Now, they're not all success stories. I was in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, a few months now, and I went to Ace Hardware. I use Ace Hardware because when you buy something, they show you what to do with it. And I need that. And this young lady, she's probably in her mid-30s, waited on me. She came to the cashier's stand, and she was just emaciated. She was anemic. She was pale. She should not have been to work, probably had to be. And I said to her, young lady, how can I pray for you? And here was her response. I don't care what you do. You see, life had made her hard. I'm not saying she wasn't justified in some of her feelings, but I'm saying we don't have to live in the swamps. We can live on the rock. And much of the choice is up to us. So be sensitive to the hurts of others. See, you can't do everything, but you can do something. You can fix a pot roast for somebody that's down and out and clinically depressed. You can't do everything, but you can do something. Third thing, you're sensitive to the needs of others. Number four, I won't spend much time on this one. I touched on it earlier. You abhor any sign of evil or sin. You hate sin. You abhor any evidence, any sign of sin. If anyone can have a critical spirit about anybody in the body, if you can live that way and get by with it and you're never convicted and the Holy Spirit never, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for your salvation. That's kind of hard. But you abhor sin. That one of the great things about Pastor Eddie shares here and what's called these cultural wars, he takes a stand and he doesn't back down, praise God. We're to hate sin in all of its forms. Sin is a monster of such awful mien that to be hated needs but to be seen. But seen too often, familiar with face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. You hate sin in all of its forms. And then a fifth way you can kind of signpost. You just can't get enough of spiritual things. You can't get enough of the Word. You can't get enough of the Spirit. You like good preaching. The Holy Spirit is the best preacher on the planet. And when you get along with him, you know who he's talking to. And the Word. I don't live in the Word because I have to. I can't help it. This is my bread. The Bible is our only objective source of faith. You gotta have this Word. I have people say, Larry, I don't read the Bible like I should. I say, why? You listen to country. I don't mean to be religious here, but you listen to country music 10 hours a day. That cell phone's been in your ear so long it's webbing into your earlobe. We do what we want to do. Coach Saban was right, as he usually is. Casey. Coach Saban says people do what they want to do. That's true. And church leaders, Larry, I don't, why? See, if you don't give the Holy Spirit some fodder, he doesn't have anything to work with. And when you get this in you and get full of it, I like what R.T. Kendall said. He said, talking about falling out in spirit, R.T. said, if you're empty-headed when you go down, you'll be empty-headed when you get up. Yeah, I love that. I'm that way with my son. My son lives in Decatur, and he and his family, and he's very busy, but he's so good. I get a text from him almost every day. He's my only child. And he's so faithful to text. He's a trooper. And he doesn't know this, but when I get a text from Todd, I'll read that thing 3 or 4 times. I just want to hear what he has to say. And 100 times more, I want to know what Daddy has for today. I want to know what my father has for me and for my wife today. If you don't, I love the call of Ezekiel. God said, I'll put my scroll in your mouth. We sang about it earlier. And Ezekiel said, I opened my mouth. And his word, listen, he said, his words were in my mouth like honey to my taste. That's what his word does. You get to where you can't live without it. It's not legalism. It's life. You get hungry for spiritual things. They're not a drudgery. They're a delight. It's not, the attitude's not, you may not have to do that today. It's, you may not get to do that. And it took me years to understand. You can't understand the Sermon on the Mount without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when you see that, where Jesus, it defies common sense, doesn't it? If a man asks you his coat, give him your outer coat too. I started preaching when I was 19. I'd read that. I acted like I knew what it meant. You're supposed to do that when you're young. I finally came to see. You want both my coat? You want my truck too? It's okay. When you've got Jesus, what else do you need? Now, we need some people around us who love us, but they don't love you like he does. You've never had a friend like him. So the fifth thing is, you constantly hunger for spiritual things. Then sixthly, you begin to understand. And we get criticized for this as charismatics, but if they weren't talking about you, they'd be talking about somebody else. We're not seeking a buzz. We're seeking life. Indestructible life. We gotta have life. And God will reward your seeking. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. Tony Chadwell texted me at 6:30 this morning. Tony, raise your hand. Tony, it's been several years since I'd heard his story. Tony Chadwell, raise your hand again. See, I used to be his pastor. I can say anything I want to him. I want to. Left Florida, true story. He and his mom in a truck, the bed of a truck. All he had to his name was a bag, a garbage bag over his shoulder. Several years ago, now it's been, he didn't quit. He didn't stop. He didn't feel sorry for himself. Now he's well established, got a home in Loretta, got a beautiful wife. She can sing like a meadowlark. 2 beautiful daughters who are much prettier than he is. But he didn't quit. He didn't quit. No quit in him. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. And nobody else will do that for you. But he will. We're not seeking a buzz here. I said he's a rewarder. I mentioned earlier about us getting voted out. That one of the times I got voted out. And one of our folks had a rental house. True story. I have no point to make up anything. All the real stuff's too good. And we had moved, disheveled our house, gone, Todd was young. Didn't have a job, didn't have a prospect of anything. And one sweet lady let us move into her rental house. True story, I looked out my window the next morning after we moved, and there were two white doves sitting on the fence. They weren't just doves, they were white doves. He'll give you stuff like that if you'll seek his heart. You don't know, you don't get two doves a day, but you got this every day. But that's a sign. He said, son, I got this. I've got this. And I've heard that, and you have too, so many times since. You don't seek in a buzz, but we're seeking his life. When I pastored in Lebanon, Tennessee, about 8 years, and one of the men, one of my faithful men, Alan Bueller, his brother was actually the founding pastor of the church. Alan Bueller, he would grow roses as big as my journal. And he would win the Wilson County Fair every year for the best roses in the fair. Alan Bueller, true story, would come to church on Sunday morning smelling like his roses. And I thought of 2 Corinthians 2:15. You and I, we are the sweet aroma of Christ to the Father because we love his Son. Isn't that amazing? He didn't smell the stench in this world. He smells the sweet aroma that you present because you love his Son. I pondered this statement. Our praise team's coming. Fellas, if you'll come back, make your way on back. Pondered this. I really believe it's true. I do not believe I would be alive tonight if I had not discovered the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I really don't. That's what a difference he makes. Now, I mentioned earlier someone's depressed. I don't know where you are tonight on your journey. Deborah shared with me just the other day. She said, Larry, did you notice? Did you know it? It's a true story. She said, did you notice the anointing is for sale now? I said, oh. She said, yeah. She says, I call them the Joy Boys, the TV boys. I call them. She said, the Joy Boys are selling the anointing. I said, oh, really? I'm thinking, I wonder how that works. I wonder if they get a big enough bite out of your debit card and they decide if they got a big enough bite, if they'll maybe cause your phone to ding or send you some bubble gum or something to help them pay for their next jet. I got a better suggestion. Find you a closet or go behind a tree somewhere and stay there and get the anointing from the source. Because what my Bible says, his anointing is not for sale. It's for Isaiah says, come, oh, you don't have money. You don't have to buy. It's for you. The water's clearest at the head of the stream. God have mercy on the Joy Boys. You can't sell what he wants to give you. Isn't that an abomination to God? I have discovered this, and I'm here now. Y'all up here yet? Yeah, good. I didn't even see you come up here. And our prayer team members, let's stand together. Our prayer team members, if you'd slip on out quickly and come find your place. And that tracking, did you find something in there? Maybe you not sure you're up to date on that yet. Don't slide past that. I have discovered this in my own life and in the lives of people. If you can live without freedom, you will. If you can live without the fullness of God, You will. C.S. Lewis said it like this. He said, there are two kinds of people in the whole world. There are those who say to God, I don't feel like I'm on. Come on. Those who say to God, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And those to whom God says, all right, old boy, try it your way. Two kinds of people in the room tonight, would you agree? So we certainly want the will of the Father. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and minister your word to these precious, precious hearts. The hungry people. They wouldn't be here tonight if they weren't hungry. So I pray you would meet each person at the point of their need. Father, thank you that we can live 10 lifetimes and do what you've done for us in one. So we want to be open tonight and receptive. In Jesus' name, to your heart. And amen. And amen. Whatever you need, I don't know what your needs are, but you and the Lord know. Like that, just a closer walk, maybe. Or maybe an area of your life you just haven't been able to get victory. I don't know what you need, but you and the Holy Spirit know. So you come while we pray for you and wait for you to come. You come now as the Lord leads you to do so.